Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Sharp. The first weekend of the normalized NCAA recruiting calendar brought a camp and recruits to Purdue's campus. We'll break it all down. Football recruiting and a little bit of basketball as well on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters here with Brian Newbert, Tom Deanhart by to talk a little football here in just a couple of minutes. Brian, things are back to somewhat normal, at least in the NCAA recruiting calendar, and that brought football recruits to campus for the first time in basically a year and a half, if not longer than that. And Purdue had a host of them in. I know that you'll be breaking those down at goldandblack.com and gave a preview of some that will be on campus and boiling over so people can read about those. But there were a lot on campus and an opportunity for Jeff Brohm to continue to build this recruiting class.
Yeah, Purdue had a ton of official visitors in this weekend. I reached out to all of them after their visits, heard back from four, so things are back to normal. I don't think Purdue got any commitments right away, but I think ultimately they'll get some. But from everything I understand, everything was as it was before, you know, the pandemic. I don't think there were a whole lot of restrictions on all of this. You know, things like that. I think that, you know, they had an opportunity to actually put their best foot forward. This wasn't this sort of closely controlled kind of bizarro world of recruiting visits. I think this was sort of what it was before. I'm sure it wasn't 100% what it was before, but I don't think it was, you know, all that far off either. I don't think this was some sort of distortion of reality, right. Which is important for Purdue because obviously – you know, the visit experience is important. And if a visit is miserable or a pain in the ass, then, you know, I think that's not going to be a very productive visit. And, you know, I swung by Purdue's camp for a little bit yesterday and it seemed like everybody was acting as they would have before all of this happened, you know. Yeah. Hopefully a good percentage of those people are vaccinated and all that stuff, but people were there, people were mingling, people were in a confined space, and, you know, I think that things looked like they did a year and a half ago, and that was nice to see, obviously for everybody involved, for reasons that go beyond just, you know, sports. But, you know, this was an important weekend for Purdue because – you know, as I think I wrote this morning, you know, high school recruiting is probably less important than ever because of the transfer situation where, you know, the transfers are going to pretty much tell the tale of how instantly impactful your recruiting class is.
Right.
But that doesn't mean it's not important to get the best players you can possibly get in any market you get them from. And, you know, I think Purdue's in on some good players in this class. You know, Joe Strickland, Dylan Sampson, a few of the guys on campus this weekend, Zion Steptoe, some of these recruits. And, you know, I think Purdue could really use some momentum right now, too. And a lot of the momentum Jeff Brohm has been able to generate at Purdue has been tied to the recruiting trail. And I think this would be a good way to get some positive momentum going for the program again if they're able to, you know, make some hay in recruiting here. So this was a good opportunity for Purdue to, you know, kind of put its best foot forward with some really good high school players. And the next few weeks will probably tell the tale of how successful they were.
Yeah. Usually when you're a new coach, the only way you can build immediate momentum is by recruiting players. And Jeff Brohm was able to do that, you know, early in his tenure. He's not a new coach anymore. Purdue needs to win some football games, but it does seem like there's still the opportunity to have some momentum in recruiting, right? I mean, that has not been lost by a couple of seasons here in which Purdue has finished under 500. Not completely, at least.
Yeah. I think it's important in any way you can do this to just remind people or prove to people or validate the people that, you know, the program hasn't stagnated, that it's still on its upward trajectory, even though the last two seasons, you know, might have given the impression that that has slowed. I mean, that could be reality. Mm-hmm. It is hard to say right now, because they certainly have an opportunity this year to show that the last 2 years have just been A, injuries, or B, a pandemic, and the circumstances of a weird year, not only because of the pandemic, but because of, you know, a failed defensive coordinator hire, things like that. Sometimes things mm-hmm. just go sideways on you too. And, you know, I think coaches probably ought to get the benefit of the doubt that sometimes that happens. And that doesn't necessarily define them as coaches, but this is a big year because these last 2 years haven't been what everybody expected after those first 2 years. And, they've got to win, and it's got to start right away because those first couple of games on that schedule are really, really important to get people believing, you know. And mm-hmm. right now, in the meantime, all you can do is deal with what's right in front of your face, and right now that's recruiting. And if Purdue can do a good job in recruiting, time will tell on the job they've done in the transfer market. It's just so hard to tell, taking guys who – you know, maybe it didn't distinguish themselves at the school they came from. It's just so hard to know whether that's a successful deal.
Right.
It's always hard in recruiting, you know, to know what's success and what's not success right away. We base so much on rankings and whatnot, and that's kind of a flawed measure. But it's all we got. So if Purdue
mm-hmm.
can do some things here this summer that can get people excited again and things like that, that would be that would be really beneficial.
I think it's interesting from a recruit perspective to consider what they will do in sort of unprecedented times with not being able to take visits until, you know, a week ago. Because on one hand, it's like you want to commit because of some of the reasons you've outlined that there's likely, I think, across the board, or at least at Power 5 schools, to be less high school guys that are able to commit because of the transfer market. So on one hand, you want to, like, commit, right? Because you want to have a spot. On the other hand, you want to go through the recruiting process because you haven't had a chance to go through the recruiting process. I think it'll be an interesting dynamic there with which guys wait, which guys don't. In general, do players wait? In general, do they not wait? I don't know if we know an answer for that. Do you have a feel for how that will go?
Well, every kid's going to be different, but this is a complete mess. This is a situation where so much stuff is converging upon itself right now that, look, Purdue had, what, 10 official visits this weekend? I don't even know the number. I haven't counted it. At the same time that they're still recruiting transfers for next season. I mean, this is all happening at once, and they're recruiting different transfers every day. This is all over the map here, and it is entirely conceivable that, you know, Purdue could have hosted a freshman or a high school safety on Friday through Sunday, and then on Monday they might have found a transfer safety who would have multiple years of eligibility. They take him, and then suddenly, you know, that freshman safety might not be in the plans anymore. I mean, that's right. Kind of an extreme hypothetical, but that's what's going on right now. And you have kids who have had no recruiting experience, you know, for a year and a half, and it just seems like the right thing to do to visit a couple of schools
mm-hmm.
before you decide. But there's always that thought in mind that, hey, you don't know if your scholarship's going to be there because things are going to move really fast because there's all this pent-up energy in recruiting right now, both on schools' parts and on kids' parts, that you just there's just so much unknown that goes on with this, and so many different dynamics at play that you don't know how each individual kid is going to respond. Look what Will Shaver did, the basketball recruit who, you know, said on last weekend that he was going to announce his commitment on September 17th after taking like four official visits or five official visits, whatever it is. He goes to North Carolina and he commits. And that's just kind of the nature of the unknown right now. Now, he might have known all along that as soon as North Carolina offered him, he's going there. But, you know, he didn't give any indication that that was the case. And every kid is going to be different. There's going to be a lot of emotional decisions. There's going to be a lot of impulsive decisions, and there's just going to be a lot of things to consider for all of these guys, and a lot of cabin fever because they haven't been able to recruit. They haven't been able to visit anywhere. And once you get on that first visit, suddenly, you know, maybe things are a little bit more impactful and maybe you move off your plan a little bit quicker than you might have otherwise.
As you mentioned at the top, you joked that, as per usual, you at least got a hold of a couple of guys who are on campus. Nick Caraway, I think, was one, and Landon Livingston, another, and perhaps there's more to come on the site. Any takeaway from your conversations with those guys about their experience at Purdue?
Just that things were normal. That was kind of one of my biggest questions was, what was the visit experience actually like? Like, if this was, you know, was this a normal football official visit weekend, or was this trying to get into Trader Joe's 6 months ago where you had to stand in line outside the door because they only let 25 people in at a time, you know, things like that. From everything I understand, it was normal. And, you know, I think Purdue, you know, did a really good job, you know, stressing academics and all of that stuff and talking about the same things that they've talked about, you know, prior to the pandemic. Not that that ever would have changed. I mean, you're still selling the same things you sold before this all happened. But I think a big part of Purdue's pitch to these guys was centralized around academics. And, you know, I think that was going to be the case no matter what. But also I think, you know, there could be some side value in that too, because as you get into the transfer era, you know, you really want to emphasize the value of your degree. And if kids make decisions for that reason and the Purdue degree is the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, maybe if you get them, you get a good football player you wanted, but you also get one who's naturally inclined to stick around too. That's just kind of baked into this, that they're not selling academics for that reason. They were always going to sell academics and whatnot, but, you know, Purdue's still talking about, you know, being a program on the rise, you know, having an opportunity for, you know, freshmen to play right away, you know, things like that. But from everything those guys said, you know, they still did a pretty good job, you know, kind of focusing on the individual and making each guy feel like they were important, as opposed to, you know, guys who were just going to kind of blend in as part of a weird era of, you know, college football recruiting where transfers are going to kind of rule the day.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into a little bit of basketball recruiting, and there's much more in boiling over about visitors or visitors-to-be and more on Will Shaver's commitment to North Carolina and what that means for Purdue at the center position. But in talking about or reading about and seeing some of the visitors here over the last week, there's one name clearly that stands out, and that is Miles Colvin, a Purdue legacy. We sort of know a little bit about his dad, Roosevelt, who apparently has a pretty athletic family with Raven playing on the volleyball team. What can you tell me about Miles Colvin and sort of what he's like as a player?
I can't tell you a whole lot. I could tell you a lot more in 36 hours. I'm going to watch him play a couple times tomorrow night. I haven't seen him. I tried to get to a high school game this year, and I wasn't able to with the schedule and all that stuff. And I know he's a big-time athlete, and I know he has kind of a football build and, you know, physical strength, athleticism are going to be strengths for him. He's got, you know, a skill level, as I understand it, that is going to be good enough. You know, I think he can shoot the ball. I don't know if he's necessarily shot a great percentage to this point, but I think he can really shoot the ball, and he can really do some things that you don't find every day in a player with that kind of athleticism and that kind of physical, you know, strength. So I think obviously he has a hell of a bloodline too. You know, kids of pros tend to find a way. They always do. And
right.
I think that, you know, he has an elite bloodline here. You know, Roosevelt's kids have all been big time athletes. for the most part. His oldest son played football at Butler. His daughter is coming to Purdue to play volleyball. And now Miles is going to be a big-time basketball recruit, I think. But I think it's the athleticism more than anything that jumps out. You know, it's hard to get that really elite athlete, you know, nowadays, especially at a place like Purdue where, you know, you aren't necessarily a one-and-done farm, you know, things like that. And
mm-hmm.
you do emphasize, you know, skill over certain other things. But if you can get both, you know, great. You know, it just isn't often Purdue can get a really, really high-end athlete with the sort of skill level that isn't going to be a liability
right.
For them. And the fact that it's found it in a guy with a natural in to Purdue was probably something Purdue just couldn't really pass up on here. You know, it is kind of interesting. I didn't really want to make a huge deal of Miles Colvin until I knew Purdue was interested because I didn't want, you know, I don't want to say I was necessarily managing it, but I didn't want this to become something it wasn't
right.
just because of the last name. And now, obviously, this is going to be a situation where Purdue's going to have a great chance at this one, I would have to think. And this is going to be a you know, a really interesting story to follow here for the next 2 years. I will see him play twice tomorrow night, too, so I will have much more on him on the site. I will hopefully have some video and a story and all that stuff. So looking forward to seeing what he's all about.
Cool. Thanks, Brian.
No problem. See you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Tom a little bit more about football. We'll do that coming up next on Gold and Black Radio. Gold and Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And Kyle here with Tom to talk a little bit of Purdue football. The Boilermakers got a surprise, Tom, at least a surprise to me, last week when it got a wide receiver transfer from Marshall. I did not expect that Purdue would get a transfer at that position, but there are reasons for Brock Thompson to transfer to be closer to home, and it just, you know, adds another veteran to a wide receiver group that should be pretty good.
Yeah, I think it just tells you, Kyle, if Purdue thinks they found a player who can indeed help them and contribute ASAP, regardless of position, except for maybe quarterback, I guess, they're going to probably take the kid, right? I mean, you always are looking to augment and improve your roster. I think that was partially the case here with Brock Thompson. He's from Indianapolis, went to Benton Davis. you know, he had a brother. He's had a brother, or has a brother, I should say, who's been battling cancer. This is a chance for him to be closer to home, be closer to his brother. And, yeah, like you said off the top, he's a veteran as well. So, you know, remember, Kyle, this is a receiving core that, while I think it's going to be a strength, still loses Rondale Moore. You had Jared Sparks and Ahmad Anderson both transfer out. So I think Thompson's a guy who's going to help him this fall for sure.
Yeah, I mean, even though you feel good about that wide receiver core, it's not one that has a wealth of experience, right? So adding another guy who has played on Saturdays is not a bad thing, in my opinion.
That's a great point. You're right. David Bell, he checks all the boxes. He's a savvy veteran. So is Milton Wright. Those are going to be your two starters on the outside. But you're exactly right, Kyle. While there's some depth there, it's largely untested depth for Purdue. We may finally get an extended look at Mershon Rice, guy who's hardly played. T.J. Sheffield as well, has really spent most of his time as a kickoff returner. And that raft of sort of newcomer redshirt freshman players, Colin Sullivan, the Abdur Yassin kid as well, Marcellus Moore. You know, those players, why they have a lot of talent, they're always, you know, proven. So again, your point is spot on, when Purdue could definitely use another veteran set of hands out there in that second, in that wide receiver core.
Purdue and everyone else still has about 3 weeks, a little bit more than that, that they can add transfers here during this offseason. To me, Tom, it seems evident that Purdue needs a running back, right? I mean, you can't go – Purdue made it through a six-game season sort of last year with two running backs, or two running backs at least that it was comfortable with. It cannot play 12 or 13 games in 2021 with only two guys, right? I mean, I know there's others, but if it was unwilling to go to some of those others last year, will it be willing to go to some of those others this year? It tells me that they've got to find another running back, even if it's not a starter, just a third running back.
Yeah, you're exactly right again. Again, like wide receiver, this is a position that lost a couple players through transfers. And Tyreek Murphy, who never even got off the field as a true freshman last year, and Dejon Hewitt, who played just a handful of snaps in two seasons at West Lafayette. So there's two scholarship players subtracted that haven't been replaced. You got a freshman coming in, Jaquez Cross from Arkansas. He's a smaller back. He's a quicker back, Kyle. I don't think he's probably going to be a guy that could play as a true freshman. Maybe I'm wrong. And basically, that's it. I mean, those are your running backs on scholarship. In addition to Xander Horvath and King DeRue, the two veterans. And I'm with you. You know, I like Horvath and DeRue. But they're more plodding backs, more blue-collar guys, between-the-tackle bangers, if you will. They're not going to keep defensive coordinators awake at night. Again, they're more than serviceable, but you certainly would like maybe a little bit of zip, you know, and speed in that backfield if you could add it. And you'd think Purdue could sell a lot of playing time to a prospective running back. I know they're trying like heck. The clock is starting to tick, but it's going to be interesting to see if they can add a back who could be a difference maker for him this year.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think it's certainly something you need. I just don't think you can count on two guys in a 12-game season. Let's talk a little bit of schedule, Tom, because I know GoldenBlack.com, you're starting to break down who Purdue plays this season. I joked a little bit a week ago that when the time came out for the UConn game, I forgot that the Huskies still had a football program, let alone that Purdue was actually playing them this year. I thought the program disappeared for some reason. But anyway, there are other teams on the schedule that might present a little bit more of a challenge to UConn, but you're starting to go through that a little bit here during the off season as we lead up to training camp in a couple of months.
Kyle, if UConn football disappeared, I don't think anybody would miss it. It's sort of like the old tree falls in the woods bit, you know. Nobody's there to hear it.
But
I digress. Because it's always kind of a fun exercise I like doing every year. Sort of going category-wise through the schedule, toughest non-conference game, toughest Big Ten game, toughest stretch of the schedule, things of that ilk. I posted last week the toughest non-conference game. I think that's a no-brainer for everybody, right? The trip to South Bend, the third game of the season. Funny, Kyle, Purdue hasn't been up there since 2012 in South Bend. You were probably up there for that game, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they haven't played Notre Dame since 2014. Of course, that game you're also at was down at Lucas mm-hmm. Oil Stadium. So it's been a while. Of course, these teams played every year from, I think, 1946 2014. I wish that was still the case. It's not. We are going to have a little extended run of games here coming up. Again, this is the first taste of it. Boy, what a litmus test, too, for Purdue, right? Ideally, my friend, Purdue's 2-0 when it makes that
yeah.
trek to South Bend, right? You got to take care of business at home against Oregon State in the opener. You got to beat that oh-so-forgettable UConn program on the road, and then of course you got the Domers, right? And boy, you can count the wins for Purdue and South Bend on one hand the last 50 years, maybe, or 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
2004, of course, being the last. So who knows? You know, you give it your best shot, and who knows? Like you said, maybe you can capture lightning in the bottle like Ohio State 2018. But yeah, it's sort of a fun thing. I think fans will enjoy kind of going through the schedule. In a little different fashion.
Yeah, no doubt. Get you ready for football, which will be here right around the corner, and be a little bit more of a normal season, too, which will be nice as well. Thanks, Tom.
Amen. You bet. Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. That's coming up next on Golden Black Radio. The Charter Siemens RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text. 765-412-5217, or you can email at kyle@chartersteam.com. As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending the exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending is a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with top lenders and do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, that's A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G, at jfqlending.com.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
More recruiting news on the site at goldandblack.com. Of course, we'll talk about it on this podcast throughout the month. It will be a busy one. We'll drop another next Monday. Of course, other podcasts throughout the week with Brian Tom and Alan Karpik as well. All right, thanks to our sponsors as always, and for Tom Dienhardt and Brian Ubert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.